Reminded of my belief in the hill called Mount Calvary. And on the last stanza of that song, the last line says, I'll cling to the old rugged cross. And then the Spirit gave us the old rugged cross. And it's a challenge. It says, the shame and reproach I will gladly bear. That's a challenge for us at the cross. But he'll call me one day to my home far away, where his glory forever I shall share. We thank God for the cross, but without Christ, the cross would be meaningless. And Christ, without the cross, there'll be no church. So we need the Christ and the church together. And the Christ and the cross, we have the church. What a person is the Lord Jesus for us. I am very thrilled to see Brother Lass. Just looking at him, I'm encouraged. And looking at his dear wife, Tabby, who has been a faithful wife, a model for many of us, for the ladies, not for us. And thank God for Nicholas, Denny, and Gabby to be a family that would come out. I have been impressed, and I say it's all by God's grace. And we give glory to God. There are not many families in which a mom and dad are away, or dad is sick, or mom is sick, and the children still come to the meeting. And so we give God praise for you. We thank God for each one of you and for this family. And we say to God be the glory, great things he has done. You know, the psalmist says, the Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we can truly say God is good to us. And because of such, he is deserving of praise. When Brother Pearson quoted those words and he was sitting down, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, the words were going through my heart. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. And we want to bless the Lord and do not forget his benefits. When we are out of the storm, we still remember what he brought us through. And so what a joy for us. This morning, we are going through a difficult time. As Brother Bob pointed out, there is a high floating level of anxiety at this moment. And many people are fearful of the future. But this morning, the message is a short message, a simple message. It is simply this, that there is victory for the flock over the fears of the future. There is victory for the flock, God's flock, over the fears of the future. So let us look, we'll look at a few verses in different places in 1 Samuel Chapter 17, and I'll try to condense so you know the story well. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 23, and as David talked with them, 1 Samuel 17, verse 23, and as he, meaning David, as he, David talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and was so afraid. Verse 28, because we want to look at the little flock. And Eliab, his eldest brother, the brother of David, heard when David spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? In verse 32, when David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. And for brevity of time, verse 15, David prevailed. I'll read verse 49 for connection. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you are an awesome God. And we thank you for your people. And we now turn this service over to you, this message. We ask that the Holy Spirit will speak from your word to every heart. And you would get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to know that while the enemy is against us, God, who is greater, is for us. David was a young man, and he was in the family, and to condense, he was appointed. Even though he had other brothers who looked even greater than he was. But when God appoints a person, he anoints the person for service. Amen? Amen. And all of us today, God has called us by his marvelous grace. And so David was there, and the people were bound as they are today by the spirit of fear about the future. There was a giant whose name was Goliath, and just to see him on the scene resulted in the people not only being bound by fear, but this giant, he said, he disdained David and in the people. And you know, the enemy is disdaining the people of God today. And he is causing us to be fearful. The enemy wants to show us how powerful he is. The God of this world, the one who is the prince and power of the air, he is triggering a lot of fears among even God's people. But there came a time when David came down. And you know, Saul, who was a great king at the time, he was head and shoulder over the people. He wouldn't go out to fight Goliath. David's army, all the men, no one would go to fight Goliath. You know, the world has a lot to say today, but we need God's man. And so here he was, David came. And you know where David came from? David came from the father. The father sent David down to look after the welfare of his brother. He came from his father. to be there. You know, thank God for our Lord Jesus. David is a type of the Lord. His very name means beloved. And our Lord Jesus, he is the beloved son. And so David came and David listened. And he looked and he recognized that this man Goliath, this giant, he was, and if you get a chance to read it, you'll see 666. But the fact was this, that Goliath, he was focusing on his own strength. Goliath came to the battle in his own name. In his own name. But David, he did not look at the size of the giant. The world was looking at the size of the giant. David did not look at the strength of the giant. The world is looking today at those who have good size and good strength, whether it be social, economical. But David looked at the supremacy of his God. And so instead of seeing the defiant giant, he saw the delivering God. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, you may be facing giants today. It could be physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, financial, whatever it might be. But I want you to know today, our God is greater than your giants. And so David came and, you know, David, one, he saw the victory for the flock over the fears of the future. Do you know? He says, and David, in verse 28, David came down and his brother accused him. Do you know when you take a stand for God, even sometimes the Lord's people would want to attack and to discourage you. And so his own brothers began to accuse him. I know why you came down here. Oh, you just came down because you want to see what's going on. You just want to be here, to be known, to be recognized. What did you do with those little sheep? What did you do with them? Ah, he said, not that I just left them. Oh, he said here in verse 28, he said, why comest down hither? Where did you lead a few sheep in the wilderness? But you know, David had left the sheep in the hands of a keeper. And so he said to him, I know that you just come down. But David said, is there not a cause? Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we don't have a cause worth dying for, we don't have a cause worth living for. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is why so many Christians are being persecuted. And many are refusing to denounce the Lord Jesus Christ because they have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And so there is a cause. Jesus said, for this cause I came into the world. He came, beloved. The Lord had a cause to come in. But he said here, the credential, David, Saul said, David, you're not capable of going against this big giant. Oh, David said, let me present to you my credential. Let me present to you, Saul, my credential. He said, I was looking after the sheep, and there came a lion, and afterward a bear, and they took a lamb. I did not run away. I wasn't a hireling. I was there for the sheep. He said, and I took that lion and that bear and I defeated them and I delivered the lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the message. We have a big God for a small flock. We might be a small flock, but we have a big shepherd. Amen. And so David said, I will go. He kept the sheep secured. And this is what I want to bring before us How do we know we can have victory in a world of defeat, in times of fears and anxiety? How can we have victory? One, we must know, brothers and sisters, that we have a big shepherd. A big shepherd for his flock. And so this shepherd that we have, he is the good shepherd. You remember in John 10 and verse 11? Remember Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's why we've been singing on Calvary today. That's why we think, where did he give up his life for the sheep? It was at the old rugged cross. It was the place called Mount Calvary. He carried our sins with him there. And brothers and sisters, Jesus died on the cross for us. We sometimes get so familiar with it that it loses its impact. But it's a reality that Jesus Christ, he died not for his sins, but for my sins. He died not that we might just escape judgment. No, he died that we might live and that we might be forever with him. The cross, brothers and sisters, it may be old, but it is new to us. It is not the cross that you wear around your neck. It's not a cross that is displayed. It's a cross that was an emblem of suffering and shame. But Jesus died on the cross. He is the good shepherd. So if you're going to have victory, you must know that we have a big shepherd for us who is good. The good shepherd. Now in Hebrews 13 and verse 20, let's look at it and I'll come back to this. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 20. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, and look at it, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or matured in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What it is saying, we can have victory, beloved brothers and sisters, because we have a good shepherd who died for us. But not only that, we have a great shepherd who not only died for us, but a shepherd who has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and has victory over the globe. And he is the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Christ. You see, had Jesus died and remained here, we would never be saved. Our faith would be in vain. But thank God Jesus died and he rose again. And he will never ever die again. He says, I am he that liveth and became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. We have not only a good shepherd, but we have a great shepherd. What a person for us. That's why we can have victory. Now in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter First Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. Now he said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Oh, beloved, we might be a little flock, but we have a big shepherd. We have a shepherd who is the good shepherd. One who has given his life for us. Has, you know, remember in Romans 8 and verse 32, In 23, remember he says, God spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He will give us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus has given up his life for you, there's nothing too big for him to give up for you. But in light of the fact that he has given up the greatest sacrifice himself, there is no sacrifice that we can make that is too big for him. And so, what a shepherd we have. Now, getting back to our story, so we are told here that Saul said, you know, David, you are not able to go. Do you know the world will tell you, and even sometimes other folks will tell you are not able to go to do the task that God has called you to. Now, there is something that struck me very much, that Saul had given his sword and given his cloak and everything to dress up David. But David said, you know what? I'm taking that off because I have not proved these things to be effective. You know what the message is? I must work within my capacity, even though the world wants to put other things on me. I must know my limitation and work within that. So David had the sling, he had the stone, he had the bag, he was ready. And you know, the stone was taken out from the river, you know that, from the brook. So it's a symbol of death. It's a symbol of death. He had gone through the valley of death. He knew what it was. And now he was able to defeat Goliath. You know what? When Goliath looked at David, he said, you are but a kid. In other words, you are so small to hit. But you know what David said? We look at him. He said, man. He didn't say man, that's my word. He looked at him and he said, he is too big to miss. Yeah. When you and I abandon ourselves in the hand of God, you know, those stones, they can represent us as we identify with the death of Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. But also in the brook, the water runs and the sharp edges of the sword, you know, of those stones are made smooth. And you and I, when we are just not washed in the blood of the Lamb. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know this fact. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us safe. Do you know that's why a baby is safe? Not S-A-V-E-D, but S-A-F-E. That's why a baby who is born is safe, is covered under the blood. When he said in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that baby is covered under the blood. You and I who have trusted Jesus Christ, we are safe and secured. But you know what? The blood, don't forget this, the blood makes us safe, but the word makes us sure. Amen? You can only know that you are saved surely by the word of God. So this is why John said, in John 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life, and that knowing that you might keep on believing. And so David came and he saw him, and I got to rush on here. But David, while Goliath came in his name, David came in the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is the secret. We cannot fight the enemy in our own strength. We cannot fight the enemy by the size of the group that we have. But we can defeat the enemy in the name of the Lord. He is our mighty conqueror. And so David He defeated Goliath. I want you to know today, there's victory for us in Jesus Christ. And because of that, brothers and sisters, we don't have to fear. We don't have to allow the enemy to instill his fears in us. So David defeated Goliath, and we have our precious Lord who has defeated the enemy against us. You know, the bear represents the world. As you know, the bear will hug you in and squeeze you to death. The lion is a type of Satan, you know, the enemy. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you and I can overcome Satan and all his devices through the one who has conquered him. We are victorious in Christ. We must not allow ourselves to be defeated by the enemy. The world is there to pull us in, to squeeze us, but we must never look like the world. We must never live like the world, but we must be a light in this world for him. And so we find here, let me just read very quickly Luke 12:32, and then I'll try to condense. Luke 12:32. The Lord Jesus, they had many anxieties here in Luke, in the context of this, Luke 12 and verse 32. You know, there were people wondering about the future in the context and what we'd be clothed with and what will we eat, what will we drink, how the economy is going to change. When you get a chance, you read the context. But here he says in verse 31, he said to them, "But seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is it. "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Don't allow the demand. In this, the people, they were fearful, worried about fashion, what they will eat. They were worried about food, you know, what they'll wear, what they will eat. They were worried about fitness. If we add a cubit, you know, what will it be? If we get a little taller. But we don't have to worry when we are in the flock. We don't have to worry because he said, "Don't fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." If ever the enemy instills fear and fears in you, you need to remind yourself that you have a shepherd. So let me close in Psalm 23 very briefly. And we know it very well. It's one thing to know there is a shepherd. It's one thing to know that he's a good shepherd. It's one thing to know he's the great shepherd. It's one thing to know he's the chief shepherd. It's wanting to know that we don't have to fear because we have a shepherd. But it's another thing to be able to say, "He is my shepherd." And so in Psalm 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Oh, it's good to read this. I know this is unusual for you, but when the Spirit leads, just feel free. So let us all read it together. You're not going to be preaching or teaching. You're just going to read it together. Amen? Amen. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." Amen. What a joy that each one here who knows the Lord can say together in unison, "The Lord is my shepherd." Oh, you can reverse that, you know. You can always reverse that. You can say, "My shepherd is the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd." I remember in closing, you know, two incidents, and I quote them very briefly. I remember when I went to the hospital to see Mick. It was the last few moments he was spending. You remember Mick Ward, who used to come to the meeting? And his son had called, and Abby and I, we got there just in time, and we there were a lot of people around. And I read that psalm. And as we read that psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And Mick just shook his head briefly, and he went on to dwell in the house of the Lord. I remember Sister Judy, when I went to the hospital there, and I wouldn't forget that. I remember I said these words to her. I asked her the question, and it still lingers with me. I said, Sister Judy, what would you want at this moment? And what would you like me to pray about? And she said, all I want is Jesus to be at my side. I remember those words are still alive in my heart. And I said, the Lord said, I will be with you in the valley. Even though you walk through the valley, the shadow of death. This morning at 2:55 a.m., I was on my bed and I heard my mother's voice. Now, don't get me wrong, I do not hear voices in terms of hallucination. But, I was there tuning in and reflecting on my life early this morning. And I heard my mom singing. You know, I used to go to school and come back even as a big boy, being the last of the family. And I still saw her this morning sitting there, and my head is in her lap. She was rubbing my head. And she was singing about the shepherd. She sang, I have a shepherd. One I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love abide, following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus, my shepherd, is my all. This morning, this afternoon, may he be the one to be your all in all, that you might know that we have victory as his flock over the fears of the future, for his name's sake.